a man who struggled with compromise. Last week I started this message, didn't get to finish it, but I'll finish it today. And I gave you some definitions that I want you to know. I want to be clear on this. I need you to understand this. And I want you to know that righteous people struggle. All right? Say it one more time. Just because you're righteous and you're trying to live a life that's pleasing unto God, it does not mean that you're not going to struggle. Now, righteous people need to understand one thing, that while they may break fellowship with God, they will never break relationship with God. Okay, that's where we get the doctrine, once saved, always saved. I'm finna clear up a few things here. Now, last week I used an illustration, and I said that, let's just say someone has fallen into sin, sexual sin, with someone, right? And they happen to fall in that particular area. I ask the question, are they still saved? Yes, right? But the one thing you have to understand about a person who compromises, they will keep on compromising until they are confronted, come on somebody, with what God's word says. Now you need to, we should understand that positional righteousness is the righteousness that we receive from God. It is given to us when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. That's called positional righteousness. Okay, you never lose your position righteously, but here's the thing, if you're not careful, you can be like Lot and start living a life of compromise. Are you with me? I told you that Lot lost his faith, amen, and he found acceptance in the world. Yet the Bible says, and we're going to look at a New Testament passage today that shows us that Lot, not only did he struggle, I told you four things, right? Put these points up from last week for me, Leah. First thing I told you, that Lot had compromised ethical standards. Amen? He compromised his ethical standards by sitting at the gate of Sodom. Now, the picture that I showed you was not the actual gate. It was a rendition of a gate and what it would look like, okay? I just want to let you know that, okay? Now, Lot, the Bible says in verse 1, he was sitting by the gate of Sodom. Listen, Lot's relationship with his uncle, amen, became strained, and there was a struggle in that relationship when they started to prosper. Isn't that amazing? How blessings can sometimes cause people to, huh? Now, Abram made the decision. He says, Lot, look, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. What did Lot do? Lot saw, amen, success. Lot saw Sodom, but he didn't move right away into Sodom. He started his journey downwards. You know the story I told you, that he moved his way into harm's way and Abram had to go get him, rescued him. He was a POW. I'm trying to help you with something. You see, sometimes God is trying to rescue us because he knows that we're moving closer and closer to danger. Amen. But the one thing I know about God is that he knows how to rescue those that he loves. Amen. So the mere fact that Abram went after Lot and got him out when he was a POW, but here's the strange thing the Bible doesn't tell us. Okay? When he rescued Lot, you would have thought Lot would have been like, you know what, Unc? You know, we had a few differences. You know what I mean? I'd rather come back home and chill. You know, let's be a family again. What did Lot do? Lot didn't do that. Lot took the rescue, Lord have mercy, but did not return gratitude in the end. Oh, come on, help me somebody. Watch this. There are people that you're going to try to rescue in life, but at the end, they're not going to show no gratitude for what you have done for them. Matter of fact, you put your life on the line for them, but they're not going to appreciate it. You understand what I'm saying? Here's the thing I understand about Lot. Lot was a righteous man, but he was not a learned man. He didn't spend time like Abram did. You understand? I'm not expecting him to, but here's what I'm saying, saints. There was something that stuck in his heart. When a person has unforgiveness, when a person has resentment, it shows by their what? Actions, but by their separation. Lord have mercy. I'm talking to somebody. Watch this. Lot now moves into Sodom and found significance. Can I tell you something? Whenever you find more significance in the world versus in the kingdom, then you're in trouble. Whenever you feel like you can get more love from those outside the church, come on and help me somebody. You and I are heading down a road that we will regret eventually. Bible says he's sitting at the gate as a big man. Here he is. He's all grown up. Come on, somebody. But we found out in the previous chapter, what did we find out? We found out that here Lot, not only did he compromise his ethical standards, what's the next thing he did? He compromised his spiritual values. See, he's compromised his spiritual values, because here he is, a spiritual man, amen, not living according to the word of God, but living, watch this, outside of the will of God. Are you with me? Now, here's why I say that. Because Abram starts interceding for him. Remember what I said last week? Whenever you can't get a person's attention, and you've tried, and you've tried, and you've tried, the best thing you can do for that person is to pray for them. The best thing, Lot said, now what if there was 10? What if there was 50? All right, he started off with 50. What if there was 45? What if there was 20? What if there was 10? Lot, listen, Abram knew that Lot was in Sodom. He knew what the Lord was about to do to Sodom, but yet he did not allow his nephew's dislike for him to cause him to change his heart about him. Lord have mercy. Don't allow people to change you just because they don't like you. Come on and say amen. Listen, pray for them. The Bible says that we ought to pray for our enemies. We ought not to wish bad on them. Are you with me? And so here he is. Lot is compromising his spiritual values. The next thing I told you, that when Lot saw them, he rose up, he bowed down with his face to the ground. I told you Lot has compromised not only his spiritual values, but Lot also compromised his spiritual beliefs. See, here's the thing. You can believe just some of this and not all of it. See, when you compromise your beliefs, you will be okay with certain things. Okay, let me cut through the line right quick, okay? Lot is living in a city of homosexuals. Okay? That was the sin. The major thing that was happening in this city. Okay? Watch this. I'm going to deal with that next week. But here it is. Lot did not believe in that. He knew it was wrong. Can I ask you a question? How many things do you know is wrong but you keep calling it right because you're compromising what you really believe. Are you with me? And when you live a life away from the Lord, it's easier and easier. It doesn't start right away. It starts very slow. You believe something, okay. You believe that you should get married first before you, get together, let's say, right? But y'all been together a long time. Y'all still not married. You get where I'm going with this? It's people say they believe certain things, but when you compromise, it's easy to overlook what God says, right? Watch this. Not only did he compromise, did he compromise his spiritual beliefs, the next thing he did, a lot of compromise his what? His fellowship with the Lord. See, as I told you, he did not break the relationship. The relationship was not destroyed. He broke fellowship. What happened to Adam after Adam's sin? When Adam hid himself from the Lord, Adam and Eve, when they hid themselves and then covered up themselves, they were in all actuality out of fellowship with the Lord, and the Lord knew it. And so watch this, but the relationship was always intact. Are you with me? I'm driving that point home because we're not perfect. I'm driving this point home because every now and then you're going to slip up. Every now and then you're going to do something that you don't want to do. Come here, Paul, Romans 6 and 7. Amen. Paul says, when I want to do right, anybody there? When I want to do right, evil is always present. But the one thing you must remind yourself is don't ever compromise your fellowship with God. Listen, no matter how bad you feel, come into his presence. Exercise 1 John 1 and 9. That if you confess your sins, he's what? He's faithful and just to what? To forgive you and to what? Cleanse you of all unrighteousness. See, Lot. And here's my observation for clarity. Okay? You know, yes, he was positionally righteous. And because of this, amen, he should have felt something. Oh, I'm trying to help somebody. Why is it sometimes we don't feel nothing? Watch this. The enemy has a way of causing us to become desensitized to sin, to unrighteous living. You get where I'm going? So watch this. So in the televisions, In the movies, in the music, in our culture, in all these other things that we see happening around here, yes, we are positionally righteous, but I stop by to tell you that we should not be so attractive to living ungodly that we accept this and we compromise what we really believe. Are you with me? The fact that Lot was a righteous man living in a fallen condition, listen to what I'm saying, condition doesn't mean that he wasn't affected by the sin or participated in it. See? And so Lot, I believe, had some really deep-seated, unresolved issues. Because like the prodigal son, you know what that story is about? What that whole thing is about? It's about the fact that the father loves you. Come on and help me, somebody. If we only know how much God loves us, if we only know how much God cares about us, if we only know that God will come after you, he knows our weaknesses. He knows our ups and downs. And listen, God had left Lot alone. You know, when they say in Romans 1, he says he'll give you over to a depraved mind. Well, Lot now is given over to a depraved mind. Lord, deliver me from my understanding. Come on and help me, somebody. Do not be wise in your what? Own understanding. Trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. Lean not to your what? Own understanding. My understanding sometimes will cause me to act a fool. My understanding sometimes will cause me to compromise what I really believe to be true. Do I have anybody? Now, I know talking about sin and homosexuality and all this other stuff is tough conversation, but guess what? It's in the Bible. And it's the times that we're living in now. We live in modern day Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you with me? Listen. There's nothing wrong with wanting your own path. There's nothing wrong with wanting to live. Watch this. And live on your own and stand on your own and do things on your own, but don't ever compromise your righteousness for it. Isn't that amazing? The first thing when we get mad, the first thing we want to do is stay home from church. Why is that? Why is it that the first place that we think about when we're mad or something go wrong, oh, I ain't going to church today. What does that got to do with what you're going through? As a matter of fact, you should be running. Come on, somebody. You see, when you can't help a person, I'm going to say it one more time. Pray for them. I'm going to say it one more time. Pray for them. Watch what the text says here. Watch what the text says here. He went. He told them, don't stay in the square. Why didn't he say to stay in the square? Because you know what was happening in the square, right? Now look at verse 3. He urged them. He used strong persuasion. Now you know what that means? Oh, I'm going to bless somebody with something today. Watch this. How is it that he can use strong persuasion to invite them in? But he was never open to be persuaded to go back and get out of. Come on, help me, somebody. Give me the next point. I believe this is the point here. New point. There it is. Lot compromised his love for the Lord. You know, love is a strange thing, y'all. It's strange in a lot of ways. I know people who love God, but they still compromise that love. You know, watch this. They're not fully faithful to him. So it's compromised. They're not fully committed to him. So it's compromised. They will tell you, oh, I love the Lord. I know the Bible real good. But I'm like, if you know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, I understand what you're going through, but don't stay in the natural too long. See, when you love somebody, there's no compromising. It's all or nothing. You can't love two. Jesus said, you cannot love two. It's impossible to love two. And what he was alluding to in that context is loving money and loving him. Lot. You know what Lot's name means? Well, the word Lot. It means to cover, to wrap, to hide. Come on and help me, somebody. Lot, his whole life was living up to his name. He was a man who was undercover. But he was a man of compromise, but he was a man who likes to cover things up. In other words, he was a fixer. Lord have mercy. He would cover it up with compromise. And so therefore, there was never a solution because it wasn't real. Is that deep? Can I ask you a question? What are you covering up? Huh? What are you covering up? What is it that you don't want to deal with? What is it that you don't want to face? That you keep covering up, it's not going to go away. You keep enveloping it. Come on, somebody. You watch this. Watch this. Oh, man, this is so deep. Listen, he compromised his love. I'm going to say, how deep is your love? Right? Do I love the Lord enough to say, God, I'm willing to stop covering up my sin, my struggle? I'm willing to be exposed so I can change. Only when it comes to light will you change. Look what he says here. Let me show you something. Hold your hand there. Put this on the screen for me. You know, I don't do the jumping around the Bible thing. Put it on the screen for me. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to do this today. I'm going to do it next week, but I'm going to do it this week. Wow, look, I got 13 minutes. Good. I'm working good time. Got it? 2 Peter. I want you to see this with me. This is the part that this is what I'm trying to get across here. Watch this. Check this out. Y'all got it? I'm talking about the media people. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. It says, and if he rescued what? Okay. Did y'all get it? Did you get it? What is his name? But when you read it in chapter 19, you think it's what? Unrighteous Lot. This is where I got positional righteousness from. Because if I didn't tie the two together, I would be looking at Lot like, this dude's tripping. But because 2 Peter says he knows how to rescue what? Okay, watch this. What does it say next? Oh, wait. Don't read so fast. Y'all read too fast. Oppressed by the sensual conduct. You know what he said? In other words, this is homosexuality. Amazing how we can use words and not say what we, you know what I mean? It's amazing, right? By sensual conduct of unprincipled men. What he rescued, he, capital H, rescued righteous Lot. Oppressed. Oh, wait a minute. Lot lived undercover so long he didn't talk to nobody. He was a man oppressed. He looked good on the outside, but he was oppressed. Go on to the next verse for me. Watch this. For by what he saw and heard, look what it calls him again. Wait a minute. So the righteous can be oppressed. Right? The righteous can get lost because they need to be rescued. The righteous can go back into the world, because that's what Sodom and Gomorrah was, the world. Watch this now. Watch this. Watch this. While living among them, felt his righteous what? What? When? By what? Let me tell you why the Lord got me preaching this. You and I will never be happy living apart from God, especially if you're righteous. Let's just say, especially if you're saved. He was tormented. Listen, when you met Lot, you wouldn't think he was, you wouldn't even think he was a tormented man. See, people know how to they know how to cover it up. This man was tormented day by day, and he had been out there a long time. But God knows how to what? Rescue those. His, those of you that belong to him. So watch this. Give me the point real quick. Here's the point for this right here. What did he compromise? Let me ask you something. Didn't God save you? I'm saying, are you still happy? Are you still enjoying this journey? Are you still enjoying your salvific experience? I'm asking a question here to the righteous. I'm talking about you got joy. Yeah, they try to hurt you, but you got joy. Watch this. God rescued you from the very thing that you thought you needed. God rescued you from it. And you ought to be rejoicing every time you and I come into the presence of God that we're still one day in this thing. Because what's this? One day outside. Ha! One day inside is better than 1,000 on the outside. I would rather be. Oh, come on and help me, somebody. Lot compromised his own righteousness. Lot was vexed, but he was not vexed enough to pick up his belongings and leave Sodom. Some of you are vexed, you're upset, you're mad, you're all this other stuff. You keep complaining about life and complain about where you are, but you won't leave. Every day you keep saying the same thing. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Man, get away from it. Listen. Next week I'll go in a little bit deeper on this, because I'm going to show you what this righteous man. Now you see why I was pressing on righteousness. Scripture is the best commentary to Scripture. Okay, so I just gave you the commentary. The Bible in Genesis 19 doesn't call him righteous Lot. It just called him cover up. But you see how God viewed him? How did God view him? As what? Righteous. If a person is saved, they are righteous. And this is why I always say, if we have issues in the body of Christ and you have a problem with me or I got a problem with you, guess what, man? Let's talk about it. Let's deal with it. Let's put it behind us because we both wrong. See? And we can reconcile and live in unity and love. Why? Because if God doesn't give up on us, if God does not throw us away, if God can rescue Lot, can he not reconcile the situation? Can he not fix that marriage? Can he not change that child? Can he not do what he can do because he's God? Yes, he can. The text says he baked unleavened bread. Now remember, the law had not come into place just yet. But here it is. Lot baked unleavened bread. You know what unleavened bread is? Bread without yeast in it. Now, unleavened bread, yeast is symbolic of sin. So here's a man who's being tormented by sin. Lord have mercy. Knows that these angels are not going to eat anything with sin in it. Let's just say, come on, somebody. And so watch this. So unleavened bread is the bread that is made without yeast. Watch this. Yeast makes the bread what? So when the bread is unleavened, it remains what? Flat. Now, the Israelites ate unleavened bread as part of the Passover celebration. The Passover is symbolic of the haste that which they fled from Egypt. They left quickly so the bread couldn't rise. And so what God would have them to do is to eat the unleavened bread, watch this, as a reminder that the Lord passed over, come on and help me somebody, their houses, watch this, and then saved them and brought them out. So symbolically, what is Lot doing? Lot is literally symbolically saying, watch this, that God is here to get me out of here in a haste, in a hurry. It's time to get out of here. It's time to leave this place. It's time to come out of this place of sin. But here's the last thing that Lot did. Lot compromised his faith. His faith. Here's a man who was in sin offering unleavened bread. The act shows that he knew something about faith. You know what bread is also symbolic of? The Word of God. So bread without sin, unleavened, means what? That it's cut straight. Let me ask you something. When was the last time Lot got a word from God? You see, the further you go down in the ocean, the more pressurized the ocean becomes. The further you go down, the more you'll be squashed. If you don't, if you go down deep enough, the ocean's pressure will flatten you out like a pancake. The deeper you go, the greater the pressure. Now, the diver can go deep and still remain safe and secure because the pressure on the inside is greater than the pressure on the outside. Most Christians leave church every Sunday only to go out into the world and be under pressure. They're under pressure of work, home, circumstances. Satan is trying to collapse them. Some people have headaches because the pressure is too great. Some people are stressed because the pressure is too great. Some people are ill because the pressure is too great. Here's the thing. We cannot tell the ocean to stop pressurizing us. That's the nature of going deep into the world. The deeper you go into the world, the more pressure you're going to get. The world can't help you with pressure. The world is going to give you pressure. The more you move into Sodom, the more pressure you're going to get. The more you compromise, the more pressure you're going to get. But I stopped by to tell you, there's a greater need for you and I to understand when the scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. But if you're going to go deep on the inside, then you, watch this, you got to come out, amen, deeper in the word. The deeper you get into the word, the stronger you're going to be able to stand. But the deeper you're going to be able to get out in the world and do something about what you're going through. Do I have anybody? Do I have anybody here who can testify that yes, they meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good? The pressure was on, but I didn't cry. I didn't complain, because the Bible says if God can rescue righteous Lot living every day tormented, can he not rescue you and I? Come on and say yes. Come on and say yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. The pressure was on, but I made it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to his holy name. Thank you, Lord. Righteous Lot. Righteous Lot. Next week, we'll talk about him giving up his girls. We're going to deal with that. But 2 Peter blew my mind months ago. When he first got rescued, I was about to go ham on him. This is why. Oh, I'm going to help somebody. I know a person may show you who they are. Believe it. But understand, God still knows who they are. God knows the truth. He knows the truth about them. And especially if they're saved, you would not have thought in a million years that Lot was a saved man, huh? I didn't either. Until scripture testified that he was a righteous man.